anointing of your Holy Spirit to fall mightily upon us. Open my lips that only your word would be spoken. Open our ears that only your word would be heard. Soften our hearts that we may understand your truth, turn to you, and be healed. As we ask in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 3, beginning at verse 22 in the Red Pew Bible. This is page 1130. Page 1130, John chapter 3, beginning at verse 22. Of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, John is unique in that it's the more theological of the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are known as the synoptic Gospels. They basically talk about what Jesus did and things that he taught. But John gives us a lot more theology. Most scholars believe that this was the last of the four Gospels to actually be put down in writing. And so it has a fair amount of theology, which sometimes can be confusing. But I think if we keep certain things in mind, that it can make a lot of sense. And so let's listen to John's description about Jesus. We heard about John the Baptist last week, and now we have John the Baptist actually giving a proclamation about Jesus as Messiah. So John chapter 3, verse 22. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the Judean countryside, and he remained there with them and was baptizing. John also was baptizing at Aenon near Salim, because water was plentiful there, and people were coming and being baptized, for John had not yet been put in prison. Now a discussion arose between some of John's disciples and a Jew over purification. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you across the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, look, he is baptizing, and all are going to him. And John answered, and this is the proclamation, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth belongs to the earth and speaks in an earthly way. He who comes from heaven is above all. He bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever receives his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true. For he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. This is the word of the Lord. I want to begin this morning by making a proclamation of my own. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of judgment of our God. Let me say that again. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of judgment, the day of vengeance of our God. This was a word that Jesus spoke. It comes from Isaiah chapter 61. Jesus spoke it when he returned home to his hometown of Nazareth. I say it to you this morning, not as simply a reading of scripture, but as a proclamation. How can I say such a thing? I am not, obviously, Jesus, but the Spirit of Jesus dwells within me. And the Spirit of Jesus dwells within you as well, which means you also have the Holy Spirit of God upon you. And you also are called to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, his redemption, and the day of vengeance of our God, his judgment. Judgment for God's enemies, redemption for God's people. Have any been listening to the news lately? Yes, yes. Discouraging, yeah, just frustrating, and oh my goodness, what is going on? Who knows what to believe, whether it's politics or this COVID virus stuff and vaccines and all that. We just don't know what to believe anymore. And so it's very easy to get discouraged and get down. Well, this morning I'm going to give you the key to joy and happiness. You ready for this? Would you like that? Yay. And the key to joy and happiness is this. We need to keep the big picture. Keep in mind the big picture. In light of all the stuff that's going on, keep in mind the big picture. What is this all about? Particularly as we're coming to this season of Christmas, celebrating the coming of Christ into the world. We need to understand that's part of the big picture. All this other stuff is noise. Keep in mind the big picture. And that's what we're going to talk about today. The big picture, judgment for God's enemies and redemption for God's people. Now, as I said in the introduction, this all began back with Adam and Eve. As we heard in our reading from Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve, the first human beings, rebelled against God. And God pronounced his judgment. What was his judgment? Not only the curses that he pronounced upon them, curse on the serpent, on Satan, curse on Eve, the curse on Adam, and the curse on creation. But also he drove them out of the garden, and he put an angel there to guard the way so they would no longer have access to the tree of life. So here we are, these cute little people types over here. And there is the tree of life. When we are born into this world, we are born separated without access to the tree of life. This is our natural condition because of Adam and Eve and all the generations since then. The question is, how do we get from here once again to have access to the tree of life, which we need for eternal life? How does that happen? Well, the barrier here is our sinfulness. Something must be done about our sins. And it's not something that we can do ourselves. It is beyond ourselves to save ourselves. But what we celebrate at Christmas, God, in his mercy, took upon himself human flesh, became a human being, the only perfect human being who ever lived. And he paid the price that we could not pay. He paid the price for our sins by dying on the cross. And as he was raised to life, we are raised to new life. And as he sends his Holy Spirit, we now have the Holy Spirit of Jesus in us, and once again we have access to the tree of life. That's the big picture. For those who do not believe the message, the judgment of God, the wrath of God remains on them. They're stuck over here and not having access to the tree of life. That's what it's all about. So God provided not only the judgment in our reading, but he also provided the plan of redemption. One day, he said, the offspring of the woman, the seed of the woman, would crush Satan's head, and Satan would crush his heel. One day, the Messiah is going to stomp on Satan. Have you ever seen the movie, The Passion of the Christ? I think it's great. You see the picture of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and just in the agony, and you know, Father, is this really necessary? And then you see this serpent kind of slithering along, and at one point, there's this great stomp, where the Messiah stomps on the head of the serpent. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. That's amazing. So both the plan of redemption and the pronouncement of judgment. This is the big picture. What I want to do is take that big picture and now look at the theology of what John has revealed to us in this third chapter that he's given us. So let's go back and look at some of the things that John the Baptist said about Jesus, Messiah, in light of this big picture. And some of these are wonderful bumper stickers or stickers you want to put on your refrigerator. The first one, he begins, a person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given him from heaven. Person cannot receive even one thing unless it... We are totally incapable of saving ourselves. If salvation is going to come to us, it must come from beyond us. It must come from God himself. What an amazing statement that is. Every good gift comes from above. John goes on to say, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. Powerful statement. Go back to Adam and Eve. Why did they rebel against God? Because they were told by the serpent, if you had the knowledge of good and evil, you'll be like God. And so much I believe that happens today and occurs today. People want to be not like God, but their own God. I want to set the rules. I want to decide what's right, what's wrong. That's the knowledge of good and evil. We were never meant to have that. There's kind of a pithy saying that I've developed over the years. It's always been near and dear to my heart. And it goes like this. God is God, and I am not. So trust in God and pray a lot. That may sound like such a clear statement, but I tell you, if you think about it, it really is defining of the human condition, I believe, and attitude. God is God, and I'm not. I am not God. So trust in God and pray a lot. John goes on to say, the one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. What is this about? Well, we know from other parts of Scripture that we as the church, the ecclesia, we are the body of Christ, but we're also the bride of Christ. Together, we are the bride of Messiah. And so it is in that relationship that we have is described the only thing in all of humanity that comes close to describing the intimacy of that relationship is the intimacy of a husband and a wife. The two shall become one. We abide in Christ. Christ abides in us. We as the church are married to Messiah. That's what we do when we offer the wine. As happened in that culture there, when the wine is offered to you, basically Jesus is saying once again to us as the body, will you be my bride? And we say, amen, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we will be your bride. It just occurred to me also something I've never thought about before, but just in meditating upon this, there's another aspect of this. Again, we're trying to get from here to get over to the tree of life access. Now, Jesus came from heaven. He certainly had access to the tree of life. He is the tree of life. And as you know, when through marriage, we see immigrants that will come in and they'll marry someone who is an American citizen. And by that marriage to an American citizen, they gain the right to live in this country. Right? You see how that works? And it just occurred to me that as we are married into Jesus, who Jesus is a citizen of heaven, obviously, we become citizens of heaven because of our marriage to Jesus. I thought, wow, what? I mean, this all seems to fall together, and it just is amazing to me. So that analogy, that picture, that you know, what we're given, that comparison of the intimacy between man and woman in holy matrimony is the best thing it could describe between us and Jesus as Messiah. So that's why our joy is great. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. John goes on to say, he must increase, but I must decrease. You know what I need most in my life? More of Jesus and less of me. You know what we need more in the world? We need more of Jesus and less of us. Isn't that how true that is? Less worried about ourselves and looking out for ourselves and our rights and so forth. More of Jesus and less of me. He must increase and I must decrease. John goes on to say, who is from above is above all. Jesus, Messiah, is above all. And one day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord on earth and above the earth and below the earth. John goes on to say, he bears witness to what he has seen and heard, yet no one receives his testimony. Whoever does receive his testimony sets his seal to this, that God is true, or God is real. God is real. And we know this because of the testimony of Jesus who came from heaven. He says, I know the Father. I've seen him. You want to know what the Father's like? Look at me. Look at me. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. So he reveals to us the very person of the Father. And as we receive that testimony, we too share in that image of God. And those who do not receive that testimony, the wrath of God remains on them. See that again, judgment and redemption. John goes on, for he whom God has sent utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure. How can I stand up here and say the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to proclaim the year of God's favor and the day of vengeance? Because God's Spirit is dwelling in me and it's dwelling in you as well. He gives the Spirit without measure. This is just another way of saying that as the Spirit of Christ dwells in us, we once again have access to the tree of life. That's what he's saying. John goes on to say, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, not will have eternal life. We have eternal life now, here and now. I think most people don't realize that. They go, oh, I'm looking for the day, you know, when I'll have eternal life. It is here and now. Whoever believes has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. All of a sudden, he talks about obedience. Well, our belief in God is shown or demonstrated, or the evidence of it is by our obedience. Therefore, those who do not obey God do not really believe in Jesus. And the wrath of God will remain on them, which means they're stuck over here and they can't get over here. That's the big picture. Judgment for God's enemies, redemption for God's people. Now, I want to take that and go back to the text of John, but I want to go to the section before that. It's always good to look at context. One of the most famous verses of all of Scripture, I think, we know in John 3:16, but what comes after that? It's the big picture of redemption and judgment. Let me go back to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. That's what we're celebrating at Christmas. God gave his only Son. That whoever believes in him should not perish, judgment, but would have eternal life, redemption. The big picture. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus didn't come to condemn us. He's on our side. Look at what he did to save us. Is he who not given his life for us do everything else he can in this world to keep us in his care? Yes. Yes, he will. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. Whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. See, God doesn't have to pronounce judgment on somebody. We're already there. We're already separated. It says it's already on us. The condemnation is already there. And then he goes on to say, and this is the judgment. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world. That's Christmas. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, hates Jesus, and does not come into the light lest his works should be exposed. What are we seeing in the world today? Cover up, censorship, lies upon lies. People don't want to see what's going on. They don't want to let people know, you know, what so-and-so is saying. So we censor that. We censor this. We cover that. Fake news. Because they're trying to keep people from hearing truth or hearing at least another side of things. What an amazing thing is going on. It's never been like this in our country, by the way. But we're seeing it on a massive scale. And for so many people in the country, they're saying, well, that's okay. It's okay to do that. We need to be careful about what we allow people to hear. What an amazing thing. Does not come to light lest their works be exposed as evil. For whoever does what is true comes to the light, to Jesus, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. My brothers and sisters, this is the meaning of Christmas. This is the big picture. Light came into the world of darkness. And why? That there might be judgment upon God's enemies, and redemption for God's people. Now, what if Jesus had not come? What if Jesus had not come into the world? We'd be stuck over here. No access to the tree of life without Jesus. Thank God that he came. Thank God that he came. So this is my message today. I believe what the Lord's giving us. In the midst of all the stuff that's happening, we can get discouraged, get down, get frustrated. But we need to keep in mind the big picture. The king is still on the throne. What we're seeing is part of either judgment or redemption. Both are coming. And we, in Christ, need not fear the judgment because we have the Spirit of Jesus in us. And so we have the assurance of redemption. And not just in the future. We have eternal life now. We have the Spirit of God in us now. We have access to the tree of life now. And for that, we are eternally thankful to God. So as we enter into this time of a Christmas celebration, let's remember this big picture. And as we see things happening in the world, remember this too fits into the big picture of either judgment or redemption. And in that, we keep our joy, knowing that God still has the plan. It's still going, hasn't been changed, hasn't been thwarted, and it will be brought to completion. And in that, our joy, like John, is complete. My brothers and sisters, we need to keep this in mind. The kingdom of God is within us and upon us. He is the king. And so based on that, we can truly say the best is yet to come. The day of redemption. Because God really does love us more than we can imagine. Would someone please close us in prayer?